You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
For our regular catch-up, I spoke to Labor's Andrew Little about New Zealand's first national security strategy aimed at addressing new security threats facing Aotearoa, criticism of the proposed immigration mass arrivals amendment bill, and reports that complaints of migrant exploitation have increased sixfold under Labor. Here is that interview. Last week we saw that the government released the first two documents of the Defence Policy Review, as well as New Zealand's first national security strategy. So can you tell our listeners about the purpose of these and what they entail?
Yeah, so for the defence documents, I mean, periodically, usually once around about every 5 years, we do a bit of a review of what the current international situation is and situation in the Pacific. For us in the Pacific, climate change is a major, if not the major issue, and certainly for our Pacific neighbours, they describe it as their existential issue. So we've always played a role, our defence force has always played a role in being able to respond to climate change created weather events. They are becoming more frequent and more intense. So one of the angles that the strategy points to is that we actually need to be probably better equipped to be able to respond more often for those things. We need to be able to do it for ourselves as well. And then the other thing is that we engage with the rest of the world on various issues, for example, supporting Ukraine at the moment by training their soldiers in the UK. And so we expect to continue to have relationships with other countries that we share values with and to support them in their times of need. So the documents lay that out. What they end up pointing to is the next piece of work that has to happen, which is then reviewing the equipment that we've got, the people that we've got, and making sure that what we say we need to be doing, that we are equipped to do that. And so that'll be another year or so to put that together. And the National Security Strategy really just provides an underpinning assessment about the way New Zealand sees the world and what we need to be prepared for, not just in defence terms, but broader national security terms. You know, for example, the growth in acts of foreign interference by other countries and what we need to do to prepare for that.
And the new security strategy identifies 12 national security issues, including terrorism, disinformation, climate change and more. So what recent events have contributed to this new strategy being necessary?
Having things prompted that, one was the Royal Commission inquiry into the mosque attacks, because, you know, as a country, we haven't been good at talking openly about national security issues and threats and how we respond. And the Royal Commission said we actually need to have more public engagement and discourse and be more open about it, and that's what we've been trying to do. The other thing is we had signed up to, with our Pacific neighbours, a thing called the Bow Declaration, and the commitment each Pacific country made, including ourselves, was to have a published national security strategy. So it fulfills the commitments we made, or the recommendation of the Royal Commission on Inquiry in that respect. But also, it reflects the fact that, you know, circumstances have been changing. The Pacific has become an area where a lot more attention has been given to it by other countries, countries like China, the US, France, who have interests down here anyway. Even, you know, European countries are showing much greater interest in terms of supporting Pacific countries on issues like climate change and border development. So the Pacific has become an area of a lot more international activity. Some of that is good, some of it perhaps not so much, and so we have to weave that into our thinking about how we respond to that.
I want to move on to the recently proposed Mass Arrivals Immigration Amendment Bill. What considerations were given when proposing to legalise the detention of asylum seekers without a warrant for up to 28 days?
We already have that power for a limited period of time, and that reflected an assessment made some years ago that with people trafficking and people smuggling and also people, you know, keen to get out of their countries but not going through the UN humanitarian processes that we subscribe to for refugees, and the fact that some of the work being done to transport people around parts of the world is becoming much more sophisticated. We had to respond. We had to have an effective response to it. The reality is we have had instances where operations have taken place, people smuggling operations, where the people being smuggled have paid huge sums of money. They've been offered the opportunity to go on to ocean-going vessels, you know, steel-hulled vessels that can travel some distance. There was one successful operation that actually took a whole bunch of people to Canada, about 500 or 600 people. If we had, 100, 200, 300 people turn up in New Zealand in an operation like that, our system simply wouldn't cope. And the reality is that people in those circumstances are not coming through the regular refugee or other migration processes that mean that we get to manage that, make sure that they can be well settled in a secure and safe environment, make sure also that our internal security needs are met as well. And if we don't have the ability, when we have, if we had numbers like that turning up on our doorstep, then it poses a number of risks for us. Some of the vessels, these steel-hulled vessels, they might be able to sail a long way, but we don't know what, for example, diseases might be on board that if they came to New Zealand would pose risks to our community, to our people, but also to our primary production sectors. So for those reasons, we need to think carefully about could this happen? And I think the assessment is that it could, even if the probability is very low. And then if it did happen, the impact would be quite serious, and we just need to be prepared to be able to manage it in a way that preserves people's dignity, preserves our national interests, keeping people safe, and enables us to manage it in an effective sort of way.
The bill has seen criticism from activists as well as a cross-party select committee, and you've said that this bill is based on updated risk assessments that other parties are ignoring. So what specifically do you believe other parties are ignoring?
The fact that there have been well-planned, well-intended operations to get people, to smuggle people to New Zealand and basically dump them here outside of our regular migration processes. And the details of those have been disclosed to other members of Parliament, members on the Select Committee. I'm in the process of trying to get that information declassified so I can talk publicly about it. But there is a risk. As I say, the probability of a successful operation is low, but it is a material risk, and the impact, were it to be successful, would be significant for us, and we need to be realistic about our ability to handle an event were it to happen.
Of the 311 submissions that the committee looked at, only 5 were reportedly in favour of this bill. Is there any specific feedback that you're considering before moving forward with this bill?
Yes, in fact, the interesting thing that the Select Committee did is to say they didn't want a report from officials in response to the submissions that were made, public submissions, and officials were advising or were recommending a number of changes to take account of the submissions that were made. It's highly unusual, in fact, unknown in my time in Parliament, for a Select Committee to refuse to receive a report like that. And so it is possible to make some changes and improvements in the bill. One is to clarify that references to detention are not detention in a prison, but in an appropriate facility that provides people with the appropriate care and facilities they need while their identities are being established and while their interests are being kind of looked after. So all of that was not rejected, it wasn't even accepted by the committee. It wouldn't even have a report to cover off those sorts of things. So, look, we'll find ways to process that in the remaining 3 weeks of Parliament. The legislation won't be passed before the election, but I think it is important that we do get information out about how it is possible to improve the legislation.
And just lastly, I wanted to ask you quickly about reports that complaints of migrant exploitation has increased sixfold in the past 5 years under Labor, with many claiming that the accredited employer work visa is responsible for this. So are you aware of any issues with this scheme that need to be addressed?
The accredited employer work visa scheme started in 2022. The first significant increase in complaints about migrant worker exploitation started in 2021. And in fact, the number of complaints in 2022 were roughly the same number in 2021. We made it, part of the challenge of this government was we accepted that migrant worker exploitation was most likely hugely underreported. And so we put in place measures to make it easier to report. So you can make a complaint online in your own language, your first language. That's never happened before. Or even if you ring up the 0800 number, we will arrange immediate translation into your first language. That's never happened before. And so we saw a significant increase in complaints, up to about 900. And that is the system working. It is important that we understand the size of the problem. We've also put in place a number of other measures so that if there is a complaint about migrant worker exploitation, there's immediate steps that an immigration official can take. For example, putting it onto one of two other visas that protects your rights and interests and then allows us to go after the employer who's done the exploitation. So I'm pleased that the system is working and the measures we've got in place are about protecting people's rights.
There have been some calls for the government to remove the rule that binds migrant workers to one specific employer. Is this something that the government would consider?
No, we don't need to. And the of the 27,000 odd accredited employers and the 77,000 odd workers on accredited employer work visas, in the vast majority of cases, the system works well, the relationships work well. In the cases where there's migrant worker exploitation, because of the changes this government has made, we're able to respond much more quickly to complaints about migrant worker exploitation and seek to protect the people who are victims of it and go after the employers. The incidence of migrant worker exploitation is not linked to the accredited employer work visa. Migrant worker exploitation happens under the range of visas that we have. We have to get on top of the particular problem. It is not visa related.
That was Minister Andrew Little discussing our new national security strategy that the government is working on, as well as criticism of proposed legislation for immigration and reports that migrant exploitation has increased under Labor.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.